Hello, welcome to the Odds War Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. We are your host Hello, welcome to the Odds War Gamer. We're your host for the Age of Sigmar Stat Center, Rob and Owen!
You froze then at the perfect point. It was like, Rob and I was like, is it gonna be
me? Oh god.
Yeah, hey man. Happy Monday, hey,
Hey guy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Are we doing this? Are we getting up close and personal?
I was just getting in cozy with you, because doesn't want to get cozy with Owen?
You'll see all my wrinkles if I come in too close, so we won't do that. I'm great. I've got a few things to talk about. We've had a little ramble. Happy days. Happy Monday to everyone.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Happy Monday to everyone. Thank you to San Fran Padre for subscribing. He's a new subscriber, so welcome to the gang, San Fran Padre. Can I say thank you to everyone else who I saw subscribe before we started, like Scrunty Hugh and everyone else. You're all great. Thanks for joining us. The Pragmatic, Chris CB, W. Soren. Hello to everyone in Texas. Jog PLC. Texas gets loads of shouts out because W. Soren always comes in and says good morning from Texas. So it just gets a shout out. So if you guys ever want your area to get a shout out, obviously jump in. That wasn't freezing. That was awkward. James, that's not awkward, man. That was fine. But thanks, San Fran, for joining us. So today is the Age of Sigmar Stat Center, which means we're going to be talking about events that have happened over the weekend. Obviously, with COVID, it's not super busy. Oh, and we're going to have so much work post-COVID. Have you thought about that? We're going to be
not
so
really
overwhelmed post-COVID.
Yeah, I know. And also, I'm hoping that my business picks up a bit, so God knows what we're going to do. But we'll find a way, right? Warhammer life finds a way. That's the way, isn't it?
That's how I describe it as well. Also, some other shout-outs for people. Big shout-out to Cornwall, Zimbabwe, Chicago, the Forest of Trawden, Browns Gree, and all of you other people from over the Wallop. Green over the Wallop. Where's that?
Right, Cabbage lives in Browns Green, by the way. He kind of got it wrong, and then you compounded it by calling it Browns Gree, which is not a place, just so you know. He actually lives about 2 miles up the road from me, so we're going to have a game.
You guys could go on a walk.
I know, we could go,
For a Londoner, though, suggesting that you go for a two-mile walk is probably too far. Local shops around me, kid. Tut shops!
No, just the shank probability is so high with a 2 mile walk around North London. It's like, it's too dangerous. I'm joking. Cool.
Well, I'm also well. And I'm glad you're well. That's what's important. Good. And the chat as well. So events, loads of stuff to talk about today. There was an event in Australia, and also there's the team event that's happening with Butchers, the Butchers team event. Butchers Tribe event. Apologies. Butchers Tribe event is what we've got going on as well. So some interesting and fun things. VIP 312. John, that's my doubles partner, my Chaos Dwarf buddy. RIP the Chaos Dwarfs. All right, so shall we talk about the event from the weekend? I've got the information via the technology of... So I'm going to talk about the Australian event. That's okay.
What was it called? Was it SmorgonCon?
SmorgonCon 3.
Oof, okay.
SmorgonCon 3, which is... So it was only 12 players, but ultimately, like, all result information is fun at this point. And I think also is the right way. If you look, that was a 12-man event in a location with no COVID infections. Yeah. Important point to note out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Australia, well, not all of Australia, but that entire area, very, 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 very low risk. Yeah, whereas everyone in fucking New Zealand literally having, like, oiled up fucking pool parties is what they're doing. So,
Yeah, but they're really good, right? If somebody sneezes, then they just shut the borders. That's kind of, they're pretty militant.
Yeah, someone's like,
round... Yeah.
Someone's like, you sneeze. Like, yeah, everyone in your house, right now, in your house. Yeah, so that's pretty serious. All right, so to let you know what happened, we thought the Blight King list was going to win, but it only ended up going 2-1. However, Sam, who was on the show on Friday, did go undefeated with his Hexwraith bomb, so that's his mixed death list. I apologize. Obviously, with the Hexwraith, the Black Coach, it all in the Death Riders Battalion, so super fun. Loads of options there. Like he talked about, that's a lot of dice rolling. Sam's talking to me. So Sam's really into like a health kick. He's trying to like really mentally and physically get himself into some shape, like really hone down, curate his space, be a good person. And I think those are all positive things. And he said one of the things he wanted to do with this list, obviously, is you can get those hex rays up to like 300 attacks. And he's like, that's a great workout in of itself. You're playing Warhammer and you're working out. Just keep rolling those dice, baby.
He's going to have like the wrists of Zeus or something, isn't he, at the end of this? He's just going to be like that, or one bicep, just that rolling arm bicep. It's just going to be like,
just
yeah,
huge, huge. Like, the real pro move is to plank while you're doing it. You just plank and then you just,
nice. Okay.
Just
yeah,
tense
yeah,
those
yeah.
abs as you roll dice. It's hard, but Sam didn't win. As at Oz, that would be a good point. He did win his own event, that's true. Although, who else to win SmorgonCon than Smorgon? But it was actually Will who won it, undefeated with his Bellicor Plague Touch list. So that's Slaves of Tartness, Plague Touch Battalion. So the Plague Touch Battalion is... It's been making waves for a long time, but it's so, so solid, right, Owen?
Yeah, I mean, it's the battalion chat that you guys have been having with the Age of Sigmar Monday night show, and then leading into your list writing and stuff. I think the reason you see that so often is because the restrictions or the what you need to bring to fill out the battalion is just so wide. It's not like you're having to specify very specific units, perhaps like a Viridian Pathfinder's battalion or something. Perhaps, you know, it's not three of this and one of that, one of those. It's basically just... I think it's seven mortal Slaves to Darkness Nurgle units and then one mortal Slaves to Darkness hero. So the fact that you can bring so much into that mortal, you know, you've got lots of options to fill it out, whether it be lots of heroes or lots of marauders or, you know, your war shrine, all of it can be marked and go in. So I think there's lots of flexibility. So it fits into like your Varangard lists, or an Archeon list can be taken in it. Yeah, I think that's why you see it. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I think that flexibility, I think, especially because we're all special snowflakes, right? Like, we want to run our Slaves to Darkness list, but I want some Chaos Knights. And it's like, oh, I want my Chaos... I want Slaves to Darkness list. Actually, I want 10 Chaos Warriors. That's all of those, by the way. That noise is me. That's me talking to myself late at night when I'm writing lists. I'm like, Marauders, and I'm like, but I want a Chariot. And I'm like, don't do it. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. COVID's been
this is a big moment, man. Are we finally hearing your inner voice? That's the voice of your spirit animal inside you. It's like fucking...
it's constantly like all the time.
Don't do that, Rob. What are you doing?
They'll judge you so much on the stream street. Cause like, just do it anyway. Lockdown's been hard. Right. Tell so me. If anyone can hear an occasional squeak, that is actually the fan on my computer trying to die. R.I.P. the fan. So
not the bird like about 30 or 40 stream streak episodes ago.
It's the same bird.
Release the pigeon. Start a poll.
Yeah, if you hear the squeak, that's genuinely the fan on my computer dying, so expect to GoFundMe for a computer for the stream streak real soon. unless I could fix it, because that sounds unhealthy. Right, so the Plague Touch Warband is so good because it does that thing anyway that you want to do. Nurgle's obviously already a good mark in Slaves of Darkness. Really, really positive. You get like great aura buffs. It keys in with all of the other units as well. Like it's the one you would take if you weren't already going inside that battalion. So there's that double as well. And the fact that it's got that flexibility, you start with a CP, get some more artifacts as well for some pretty good characters, I think is super important. So it's basically perfect. I would say though, like, that its adaptability is its key focus, that you can just put anything in it that you want to. So you get to design more like lists that you want, that big unit that's going to tank. So let's say Chaos Warriors, like that 15 that you're just going to hit, and then it's like, cool, I'm rerolling my saves and all those sixes you take. And ultimately it's a game of melee, so anything where you can hit your opponent and where you hit your opponent and they take damage is obviously phenomenal.
I got distracted because I was just thinking, I know that you've got another point to make is about what they actually get from the battalion. A lot of people are chasing drops and they just take the battalion because it lowers the drops, and they're like, oh, you know, at the end of the hero phase, every model within 1 inch of the hero from this battalion takes a mortal wound on a six. You know, you get shit rules like that from some of the battalions, but I think the battalion abilities are genuinely really good as well. So Plague Touched, yeah, it is basically it. Unmodified wound roll of six does a mortal wound back, which, you know, that's lovely, especially if you want to get stuff into combat. It's sorry to detour us slightly there, Rob, but you know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that it's you're motivated to take it to be one drop, but then similarly the actual ability is really strong as well. So it's like a win-win. There's no fat there, is there?
No. And then Bellicor's inclusion is like, I mean, I don't really know why every Save Stance list doesn't have Bellicor in. I can understand it if you're going for like an Archeon list. You're like, look, I've already spent a load of points. Stu Flynn, thanks for resubscribing for 8 months, you babe. So if you've already spent loads of points on Archeon, then I can completely understand why like you wouldn't want to spend the extra points on Bellicor. But if you're not, Bellicor itself is such a good unit in the game, and then you bring its War Scroll ability on it to shut a unit down, game-winning. It's got a game-winning ability, and then the rest of the War Scroll is hot fire as well. It's perfect.
Yeah. It's perfect. And I think it's really good in terms of you can essentially give away turn one with your one drop if you want to, and then you take the turn, and then you can still use Bellicor later to protect against a future double, or putting him in a one drop gives you even more flexibility about where you shut down things. It's great, and I'm not surprised that he won with it. How did everyone else do? I did see some chat in the South London chat. Arthur went 2-1 with the nine Immortus. It's not quite the Immortus star. I've seen a 12 Immortus list, which we call the Immortus star, but it's not quite that. But I think he did pretty well. I think he came unstuck. To be honest with you, I can't remember exactly what he lost against, but I know that it was pretty. I think he lost his first game and then went 2-1.
Yeah, so he went. Arthur went 2-1. I think that's because I don't think he was against the Blight Kings. The Blight Kings were against first game was against the Privateers, which was obviously hilarious. The Privateers did go 0-3, as did Nighthaunt, sad face to those guys, but maybe they were new as well, so big love. Like, there's nothing ever wrong with not winning any games. Sylvaneth, Hayden, went 1-1, so I think maybe he had to leave or something happened there, so unfortunately we will never know. He lost 1-1-1. We will never know on which side of the fence that Sylvaneth play would have gone.
Maybe he lost the first game, won the second game, and then just went out celebrating after he won the second game. That's probably what I'd have done. Just sacked it off like, it's not going to get any better than this. Let's go, boys.
Fireslayers went 2-1. Blight Kings went 2-1. Like we said, we thought that was going to win the event. But yeah, the Hexwraith Bomb and the Plague Touch Warband would have played against each other, which would have been fascinating, actually, as a final matchup, because then obviously you would have had all of those basically non-rending attacks from the Hexwraith going into the unit that wants to dish back mortal wounds in return. So that would have been really quite interesting as a matchup. So I have a little quote at the bottom here. Danny should have won the event but forgot to deploy his battalion together. So Arthur got to choose who went first, even though Danny had lower drops. So Danny plays not realizing that you could do the thing that everyone with a battalion can do, but that's fine. He's more of a painter anyway. That's why he's Danny Paints, not Danny Plays.
So is it now Danny Plays and then in brackets,
it depends.
You've got
it depends
badly
on the day.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on the day. If he one drop smashes coach off the board, Danny Plays. I think he also came 12th at Gen Con, so it's pretty good. But currently, Danny Paints. However, the final point here is the real winner was the friends we made along the way.
Oh, Rob. That's
so
beautiful, man.
There we go.
We just all have to cherish that. But in truth, who actually did win? It was the Bellicor Plague Touched, yeah?
Bellicor Plague Touched. Bellicor Plague Touched. Nice. Yeah, took the event out. Yeah. So really, really good. Yeah, so it sounds like it was a cool event. And obviously, like, a good indication of events that we're going to see in the future as well. Like, small 12, 20-man events are going to be kind of the constant, unless we're doing TTS. Which obviously obviously Australia might have some larger events as we go forward, but really, like, you know, even when you do have large events like 40-50 mans, it's going to take a while for them to come back ultimately and like get back into the schedule. And then even then, really, when we had events from all around the world, there was always like a major event every day or every weekend. Mm-hmm. When before COVID, but sometimes they weren't all in like in one place. They were like all over the place. There was, you know, it's pretty consistent. So I think like Sam's doing a great job, and anyone else, if you guys are like really desperate to play some games, really like think about where you're going to start organizing your games and your little small 10-12 man tournaments, and send them a message. As long as it's somewhere that's safe and the infection rates are low enough, we're going to have a big old chat about it. Like, you know, like, so that, I think that's a really good thing. And I'm excited about that in the future. I mean, just find out what all these little cuties are doing around the world. Who doesn't want to know about that?
Damn straight. Yeah,
damn
yeah.
Straight. Yeah.
After meeting loads of people through TTS, it's like it just shows that we're all one big community anyway. So it's yeah, it's cool to know what they're, you know, it's cool to actually see people's armies, like their real armies, their painted armies, after they've been playing them on TTS and things. Pask in the chat says he thinks that Gold Kong, the Geelong event, and the Bendigo event are all going to be 40 plus if COVID are lying. So Gold Con is obviously Simon Hall as Firehander's tournament. So I think there's one big weekend where I think one tournament was going on and people couldn't get tickets. So like there's lots of it's kind of like a big
is that Australia
GT
Day weekend.
Yeah. Oh, we could have like an Aussie Monday special after that weekend.
Oh, perfect. We'll get an Aussie on.
Yes. And they can, yeah, chat through. But yeah, very jealous.
That's normally when CanCon would be.
Ah, right. Gotcha.
So they're all doing that at the same time. So that's awesome. So all the boys down in Bendigo, awesome. I'm very excited. 60 to 70 people for the Victoria GT. Yes, as ours. Yes. Oh, so jealous. So jealous of all of you. And the idea of 70 people together now terrifies me. I'm so happy for you guys.
Every time I see a movie now where they're like all on the tube or the New York subway, and I'm like, ah, 2 meters, come on. Have you not read the news for fun? All right, yeah, okay. It was filmed a while ago, never mind. yeah, so that sounds fun.
Right, so, but that brings us on to TTS, right?
Yes.
Where there is a TTS, there's a TTS Teams event happening right now, and that we've got a TTS event to announce and talk about soon. So the TTS team event, Owen, do you want to intro this?
Yeah, so we talked about it. We did the draw. God, that was only a week ago. A week's a long time in Warhammer, isn't it? Blimey neck.
Really
so this is Pask, who's in the chat. I'm sure that he'll chip in with any additional information if we're missing anything out. But this is the Butcher's Tribes event. So off the top of my head, it was something in the region of about 30 teams. And obviously there's a 2-week window for those teams to play their games in their pool. So I don't think we're really in a position to talk about many results because there's just been a few games going on. I have seen some big wins for lots of the major. I mean, it's a filth fest. In my notes, it just says filth fest because the sort of the pack and the restrictions were that you could only take one army from each Grand Alliance. It's a three-man teams, and you can only take, so there's only one alliance that'll tend to be dropped. So you tend to find that with, as we've talked about through the course of the Stat Center developing, Chaos and Order very much do have the strongest factions within them, Death and Destruction a little bit less so. So you're tending to see a lot of the high performing sort of Tzeentch, Seraphon, Eidoneth Deepkin, it tends to break down to whether the teams are taking Ogres or Bone Reapers. Those are the top picks from Destruction and Death. So yeah, I don't know if you've got the meta as a
I
as a
do,
little.
Sir. I do, sir. So it's on the screen for you guys now. So one of the things, before we get into the actual stats and the numbers on the armies, to talk about obviously is team composition. And team composition is one of those very interesting conversations that we can have. Now, obviously, people have been to the ETC, which is a once a year event. So I kind of find it funny that they feel like that they understand everything about team events ever. What I mean by that is I feel like a lot of the information is anecdotal, and what I'm trying to say after that is I feel like that as a community we're really only at the beginning stages of learning what team event Warhammer is. I'm pretty certain everyone in the world is like very confident that team event Warhammer feels like the right way to play Warhammer in the future, and there's a couple of reasons for that. If I can just go on a quick diatribe there, Owen. One of the reasons that we generally feel that is normally, if you follow the Age of Sigmar kind of stats, and if you followed the competitive scene, there's a few armies that generally sit at the top. We've talked obviously about Seraphon being S tier, but before this, obviously, there was a time when we were talking about Sinesh, and earlier on we were talking about Tzeentch. So there's armies that like really fit into that kind of, even if it's not like a top one army, it's a top bracket. Let's just call it 5. Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's normally less than that. It's normally more like 3. And then below that, you have like the fat middle, as we've talked about before, which is those other things. And you have a whole bunch of people right at the tail end who like you have. But it's normally everyone's in the middle with loads of like very few at the top, very few at the bottom, but some are. However, this becomes very interesting when you go to a singles event, because traditionally those winning lists or those winning couple of factions, they generally take it out because the event is normally populated by several people running those top lists, and it's just who of those people is going to take that out. If we look at Flesh Eater Courts winning nothing but events, Sinesh winning nothing but events, different people all the time, but from all around the world, but it was the same sort of lists and the same sort of armies. And that is really interesting when you get into team events. That's why things like the ETC and WTC make you have eight players, right? Mm-hmm. Because then you get a much wider spread of armies. And where that relates to this team event here, when you only have three, what you generally will tend to find, I think, is you'll find the three lists slash armies that are optimized well for team events. And you don't have to move away from those top bracket of armies. So a big conversation happens a lot. It's like, why are team events eight man on the kind of like the world stage, the ETC, WTC? And this is one of those kind of like introductions. That's the whole conversation as a problem condensed into one quick paragraph. And then now we get to talk about this, because when we go and look at the stats, or when we look at like the meta representation, like OCR Bone Reapers, the real question isn't, are OCR Bone Reapers the best army in the game right now? In my opinion, the answer would be no. It's, are they a great army for a team event and why? And then that's why we can have this conversation about all of this information. Does that help set it up?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I think that there's a lot to come out of that in terms of, I think definitely the three-man team is a really interesting dynamic. I think when you go to six, like you get in Six Nations, or you go to eight, like you've mentioned for ETC or for other team tournaments, you tend to always have a restriction of, you know, you're not allowed to duplicate any war scrolls. So that's obviously going to naturally have a very diverse set of armies. But I do think within a six-man or an eight-man team environment, you do have room for more of those cute off-meta picks. There's a saying, and I don't want to patronize anybody watching the show, but in team tournaments, you often get someone who's bust. And what that means is that they basically take a really shit matchup, try and get a couple of secondaries, and it lets the other members of their team get really good matchups. And I don't think you can have that happen in a three-man tournament, because there's no room for the cute off-meta pick. I mean, KO isn't necessarily an off-meta pick per se, but in certain matchups, it can get beaten. But in other matchups, it can really, you know, it can just hard counter certain armies. So there's only one KO army in the whole tournament, Bob. And I think that's why you're seeing like there's 16, nearly 17% of all the armies are Bone Reapers. A, because it's one of the best picks within the restrictions of the tournament in terms of you can only take one army per Grand Alliance. And B, very much as you say, you know, 80 more tech and two crawlers is really, really solid. There we go. 50% of teams have an OBR player. Yeah. I think that choosing between Ogres and OBR, I think OBR I don't know, I was going to say play the missions better. I just think OBR is a really good, solid army, and you can put it into a lot of things and it will do really well.
I think that's the key point. It's more, it feels like it's more of a safety choice, especially with the power of the crawlers. Mm-hmm. Like the crawlers like work really, in some armies they don't work well, but most armies they tend to work really well into. And that's the kind of key part, is like, which of the crawlers work really well into. And even if they don't work well into them, actually pushing OBR off objectives and winning that game is still not the easiest win, like, yeah, ultimately. I think that's why we're seeing that stat so high. And also, I mean, if you wanted to, you could really, like, so one of those things that you'll sit here talk about, and if you'd like to hear about this, but for 40K, there's the WTC Squadcast, which is a podcast available. You can listen to it anywhere, where guys that have been organizing 40K, competitive 40K team events for years discuss their experiences and everything else. So you guys go listen to that if you get the opportunity and you want to hear some more information on this. You can make SKU lists as well. So you could talk a lot about quad crawlers. So taking four crawlers. So these are the catapults from OCR Bone Reapers. That's a horrific SKU list. It's 800 points. Plus a hero, you're going to be looking at half your army, 1,000 points just dedicated to that shooting. But it is a ton of shooting, and in the right matchup, works super well. A bit like the AT Sentinel list we talked about earlier on in the year that took out the French event. I think it was the French event. Again,
and another... you would see the Kurnoth Hunter spam Sylvaneth Heartwood list with all the rerolls. That was very much a skew sort of shooting list, which you'd never take to a singles tournament, right? But in very much in the same realm as your Sentinel list or your crawler list. If your coach, whoever's doing the matchups, can put that into the right matchup, it'll crush, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so 17%, like Pascal said in the chat, and there's a link in there. And in the show notes, I will put a link in to the Tabletop TO results so you can watch live, because this is a TTS event via Teams. So this team event is happening online, which is super cool. Teams of three and playing in pools, and then the winners of the pools will go on into, I think, an elimination tournament, right?
Yeah, essentially the top, it's very much like another sort of a sports tournament or whatever. The top one goes out. So you get four teams in each pool. The winner of each pool goes through, plus the best second place team. So there's a lot of pressure on players to sort of, you know, get the wins, because there's not really any second chances here. And every, very much like, again, in Team Warhammer, every point counts. So, you know, getting the secondaries and choosing your secondaries. I'm sure that there's WhatsApp chats on fire all over the world with players working out what matchups they want and practicing against the teams that they see in the meta. There's a lot of filth. I mean, based on the conversation we had around the fat middle and the armies that I skimmed off the top, basically all those armies, apart from Nurgle and Ogre swap, but basically Tzeentch, Deepkin, Seraphon, they're outside of OBR, they're the most represented. So if you want to win this tournament, you're going to have to beat good players playing good armies, which is what Team Warhammer's all about, right?
Exactly. I think that's exactly right. So like, so now let's look at the second most popular, no, not the second most popular, in my opinion, the S tier army. Absolutely ready for a crushing in the winter FAQ. Oh, in which we are definitely getting in a couple of weeks. They've said now. Yeah?
Really? I won't believe it till I see it, to be perfectly honest with you.
Everyone hold on to your hats. Plus 10, minus 10 on all units. That's the internet.
So big news.
I've written it for you now. Fucking huge. Right. So, but the S tier army, Seraphon, still not even the second most popular army here, which is they're only at 9.5%. One of the interesting things about this team tournament, more than any other team tournament that we've ever seen, Owen, is that no one is restricted by what they own.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fascinating. Fascinating that even though you could 100% each team could include a Seraphon list, they haven't included a Seraphon list. Maybe because of the Seraphon mirror. Interesting point, because another thing that you have to think about is if you know people are going to bring the top army in the game, which is Seraphon right now, then that 9.5%, maybe people think that you can like outplay it, basically, right? Which, in second place, one of those people that are very up there as well, very, very up there, is Tzeentch. In fact, they're fourth most popular Seraphon.
Yeah,
at 9.5%.
Yeah, yeah.
Fascinating. So Tzeentch at 11.9% of the meta. So 12% there. And then Idneth Deepkin at 10%. I'd like to go back to Tzeentch in a minute, but Owen, you and me were having a conversation before the show started about Idneth Deepkin and how their power level is through the roof since the Marathi update. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to talk to me about that?
I mean, we've touched on it with some of my tournament coverage and other results and stuff coming in. But yeah, the boost on the Leviadon, the Retarius net launcher on those Alapexes, and the plus one to wound aura on the Eidolon of the Storm, and the fact that he's now got a 5-up DPR to make him a bit more protective. But yeah, it's just gross. I mean, you're seeing a lot more Ishlayan now. So you can screen off your army with the Ishlayan, get the plus one save from the Leviadon, get another plus one save or cover on turn one. So they're very strong against the Alpha. And then when they go now, they go hard. I mean, Matthew Goldsborough last night popped 40 Mortec and a Harvester, not even on turn three, no extra attacks. I mean, he pushed most of his army into it, so, you know, it will die. But, they don't have to... Okay, Rob, here we go. They don't have to wait till turn three. They just fucking do it now anyway. They're strong enough anyway. And turn three is just like, you know...
The juice.
I don't know, whatever you'd say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just mopping up. Yeah.
So yeah, I think one of the conversations that needs to be had is about those sharks and those net launchers, like, which is it's going to be fascinating. Hopefully, I'll play a couple of people this week. We'll see it on the breakfast battles, and if not. We'll get to see it in real life. But if you haven't experienced those net launches yet, they are game-changing, game-breaking. Back in the day, a Sinesh would stop you from make you fight last. These guys are basically stopping you from fighting. That's not what their rule does. What their rule does is not allow you to pile in 3 inches, basically. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's what it does, right? Yeah, like, you just can't you can't pile in 3 inches. But that's huge, because you can just tag units on the side, and make it so they can't pile in and get you. You can charge, kind of half delete a unit. The other unit, like, a previous really good strategy would, you would put up a line of defenders, so you put up a screen of 10 of whatever human sacrifices you had, and then behind it would be a big punch unit. So if a charging unit hit the screen, yeah, then you would recharge them. That's why the Flesh Eater Quartz ability to fight twice was always so strong, because you would kill the screen, and then you would kill the thing behind the screen as well. Right, they also, their jaw attack was 3 inches for some reason. Different conversation. So that's why all those interactions were so key. Now I can shoot the unit behind it that's really scary and just kill the screen. No drama. Yeah, I don't have to party.
Lovely jubbly.
If I get the priority, then I can just go into the next unit as well. So I think people are going to be amazed. Screw you, that's a problem in AOS. What is this? The Crotfurs. But I think people are going to be amazed, especially when they get back. If they haven't been following the TTS coverage, they haven't been following any of the event coverage that we're doing on the Mondays that we're in, I think people are going to be shocked when they return to Age of Sigmar playing post-COVID. I think people are going to be like, oh, I did not know this was going to happen. And it's going to change games, I think. And it skyrocketed the power level of the Ardnethian army.
Yeah, I think they can still. I think that's maybe why you see quite a few ogres. I think Pask made the point in the chat that ogres aren't bad, because mortal wounds are their Achilles heel still. Yeah, I mean, you take an army which everything flies, everything goes super fast, they can run and charge, they've got the ability to spam attacks in the mid game and control and basically complete the game in the mid. And then you throw in the fact now that they've got a tanking piece. So, you know, you can push that Leviathan into a shooting army, even if you're not going to commit like your whole army forward. I've seen in like Pitari, the Finnish player who won the Butcher's Buffet event. He wasn't running this list, but he now runs the double turtle list. I think he's got a double turtle list in this tournament, the Tribes tournament. One buffs. The other one, you can just push it into your whole opponent's army. They have to shoot it because Ardneth have got great rules. So if you have a shooting castle army, you can just put this Leviathan right into the front of them and tie up the whole army for maybe at least a turn or two, while the rest of your army gets juiced up and gets ready for turn three, where they basically smash everything. So it's basically given them much more options, and it's made everything, like, if you think about it, they're still bloody elves, and they're probably the tankiest freaking elves that you've got now, right? Those Ishlaean Guard in the early
elves
game
are
probably
tanky, I mean. Yeah, they're only tanky. Five
of
them are DPRs.
Elves. Not my Wildwood Rangers, mate. I've been trying to get them to work. They are not tanky at all.
The Living City Elves aren't the proper elves. Any elves that are... See, the problem with the Living City Elves is they abandoned... way back in the day, the Wanderers abandoned everyone. Some went with the Lariel. They also had a rough time. But the ones that went to worship Cain, they're like, you can't be hurt now, you're naked. Fish people, like, you can't be hurt, you're mysterious. And then the Lumineth were like, can't be hurt, made of mountains. So elves are the new dwarves, basically, is how it works. Doughty.
Yeah. Dan was right all along, wasn't he?
Dan was right all along. Manny Walters coming up with a great pun. Fish tanky? Thank you, Manny Walters. Appreciate you and all puns that are put in the chat. You shut your whore mouth, says Henry Steele.
Oh god,
it's not my fault, I don't write the rules. Also what we're seeing here is 6% of the faction taken up by ogre moor tribes. I would say that their use and utility on TTS has to be talked about. Obviously, you don't want to take loads of models if you can help it. It can be quite frustrating to use on TTS. Not quite frustrating, that's not fair. A little bit more annoying than everything else, I guess. But like, large models are sometimes a little bit easier. So Moor Tribes feels like the perfect TTS army in some ways.
Agreed. Yeah. I would like to just return to a point you made as well earlier, Rob, about the team tournament and player composition and armies and how it's very, you know, there's no barrier to what army you can take. And I think that means that those flex players that you have in a team, in Team Wales, for example, several of the players, such as myself, we would need to take an army into that tournament and know 3 to 4 months in advance that, you know, we would basically run one of the armies that we play. But someone like Andy Hughes, he could, you know, you could give him something with not too much time in advance. And as long as the play style suited his play style, he could pick up any army. So I think the teams that are made up of players that can, they're not just like, oh, I play OBR, I play ogres, and I play fire slayers, so this is what we're going to run. You know, we've in my team with Laurie and Benjamin, there are players in there who effectively will be able to pick up whatever armies are needed to that they feel are going to be strongest, looking at potentially what else is going to be played. So I think that conversation around having one or two flex players in your team is really important. So Stephen Follows, for example, we've known he's been playing Thricefold Befoulment. He took Legion of Chaos Ascendant army to one of my recent tournaments. He's played a lot of Iron Jaws over the last 18 months, but all of that's out the window, playing Seraphon because they're busted and it's going to win games, right?
Smash games.
So having a player who can flex like that's really important. That's really what I wanted
important.
To say.
Really important, which is why I love the Super Series. Just saying, if I can ban some stuff, mix the whole meta up, just saying, yep. Hashtag. Realm Lords, I'm actually very surprised that Realm Lords are so low in this, because you can make some proper skewy lists, 1.2%. However, don't forget, you can only take one army from each Grand Alliance. So there are a load of other armies. Stormcast in there, I assume, Shootcast all day. But I'm very, very surprised. Daughters of Cain, that Marathi pick being important in Fire Slayers. I'm just honestly surprised. Also, great work. Great work by Pask on putting this... did he do this, or did this automatically kick it out by Grand Alliance? Because if not, I'm chuffing loving it. Yeah, did it. Yes. Anyway, sorry, that's just a little... Yeah, I did this. Oh my God, Pask, I fucking love you. This is fucking... This makes me horny. Anyway, you got any other thoughts on any of the other things that you've seen in Heroine?
I have to admit that I've had all sorts going on, so I haven't been the usual online Owen watching loads of games and things. I think that there are obviously some super teams, let's call them, in the tournament, and so there's been some quite convincing wins so far going through. But I think it'd be really interesting to see. Perhaps what we could do, Rob, is as the I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, but as the tournament progresses, perhaps we could do a continuing meta. So every week or every time there's like the group stage is over and then we move forward, we can then look at that meta and see which armies have dropped away. And they'll probably end up being, you know, you'll have a very finely tuned set of armies and set of, you know, and the top players all playing at the top of the pyramid once we get there. The meta will be constantly shifting as we go along. I think that'll be interesting.
I think this will be very fascinating to keep abreast of as well, especially over time, and especially for the Stat Center and for the Agency Mark community as well. If you guys are new to team tournaments around the world, and with the idea of having team tournaments set up, I think they're fun. There was a good cop point earlier. Someone was talking about, you know, it's really hard to do 8-man events in your local gaming store or whatever. I was like, good point. Format like this, 3-man team events, is something that's really viable. I think it also encourages really good camaraderie.
It's the best, man.
Considering I'm such a Trotskyite, I would think I could know that word, but camaraderie?
camaraderie. I think that's what you're going for, isn't it, Rob?
Oh, my God. Anyway, that. And that's really useful as well, because sometimes when you've got like your little gaming group, all of you are like playing against each other, you know, and I'm not saying there's a bit of hurt pride, but then you end up going to a tournament and there's like one of them does really well. It's like, fucking dickhead. Like, you know, there's a bit of that. Like, but where you're a team,
that's just you, Rob. That's just you, man. That's you and your little jealous streak. Like, you just don't want anyone else to win. Twat.
I only want Nathan to win. That's all I. That's all I want to win. I'm like, Nathan, have you won yet? He's like, oh, won a few. Yeah. So, I think it'd be really good in the future for events and stuff, is what I was trying to say. Good. I think that's everything, right, on that?
Yes, I think so. I think we'll have an eye on that, and we'll have some more information. And I think it'd be a nice idea to get Pask on at some point, probably, because he's.
I was going to ask him if he was free on Wednesday, actually, or Thursday.
Great TO.
I'm going to ask him after the show.
Yes, 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 yes. We won't put him on the spot now in the chat. But no, other than that, I think that's something that's ongoing and we're really looking forward to. And then we've got another Hammer Time coming up, haven't we?
We have. We have. So these are Owen's TTS events. And this is more of a conversation about TTS in general. Because there's still months and months before you might get to play Warhammer. Ultimately, there's months and months before you might get to play Warhammer, so there's a bit of a drama there, and so you might be feeling like disconnected or you want to play. So here's the mission as a group. What we're going to do is we're together, we're going to get as many people playing TTS as we can. Loads of people, yeah? Owen's going to help, I'm going to help, we're all going to do it. Owen's organizing an event, so there's the Hammer Time event, which he's going to put the link to in the chat right now. I'm going to include in the show notes. I've just put a link in the video, a video in the link. Oh my God. I put a video link in the chat is what I've done. Yeah. And that has been me taking people through setting up and playing TTS pretty simply. It's like a quick walkthrough, which I think is fine.
Scrivo knows.
Someone will include in the show notes. right. But the point is then you'll be able to play some games with your friends or with people all around the world. So that video plus all the information you'll be able to find in the Hammer Time Discord. And then you can go play an event. Oh, Meg Facey, thanks for donating a quid to the show. Big love to Meg Facey. That is actually, her boyfriend is on the Monday show sometimes. So that's nice. The Meg.
The Meg, the one and only.
Yeah. You are. Anyway. So thanks, Meg Facey. Big love to you for donating quid. Is that the Meg? It is. So yeah. So Owen, what have you got to say about the Hammer Time event? So we're going to try and get many people to the Hammer Time events as possible. You've been running. They're free to play. Free. This TO here has been doing events for free for ages. You are ruining the gaming economy, Owen. Yeah. Classic Southerner.
It's all on me. It's all on me. We've got this Hammer Time weekend. It's free. It keeps me busy. I've said it many times, and it makes people happy, and I like making people happy. So there's nothing more to it other than that. Warhammer's great, and it's fun to play, so let's all have some competitive Warhammer together. So I've sent you a link to the little sort of headline thing, if you've got it, if you could chuck that up on screen, Rob. Is that okay? The thing, I sent it to you in the Skype. So basically, it's the weekend of the 6th and 7th of February. So that's going to be, what are we now? Yeah, about 3 weeks' time. And I basically did a survey for all the people in the Discord channel. I just sort of said, you know, we did the fat middle. There was an element of comp, or there was an element of, you know, sort of tweaking the meta. And that was great. And everyone had a good time. But I do appreciate that people like to play, you know, full, proper competitive Warhammer. No sort of no armies banned, no comp, just straight up bring your army. Let's go. So, and there was a 50-50 split. The survey said, half the people wanted to do a competitive event. Half the people wanted to do something which was a bit of fun. So we live in a democracy. Let's just do both, eh, Rob? That's what we
thought.
Let's
do both.
So, yeah, on the Saturday the 6th, we've got Hammer Time 7, and that's pure tournament. And then on the 7th, this is props to – I need to give a shout-out to Colonel Cabbage and also Dan Unsupervised. I think Dan actually mentioned it on the stream. He was like, you could do anything. Like, every army could take a Mega Gargant. So, on the Sunday, we're going to do Hammer Time Titans of Gur, I've called it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, every army has to take a Mega Gargant. Now, just stay there, Rob. Stay with me. It'll be fun. So yeah, Titans of Gur, basically, the whole day is it's three games. We're going to play in a realm. So, you know, we're going proper story-driven Warhammer here. So we're going to play in Gur. There's going to be no named characters. Every army has to take a Mega Gargant. And you're not allowed to take more than two of any war scroll. So no spam. I want to kind of like mixed arms. And the idea is that basically there's a civil war in Gur, and every township and every city has to muster their forces, and they're all hiring in. They're hiring in a Mega Gargant to bolster their force. Yeah. And yeah, it seems to me that we've got currently I've got
see,
18
I can so get on board with that, Owen. Like, understand where I'm at, right? Like, I get it, right? Like, Sigmar's like, oh, I need to drag everyone around, so turn the Stormcast down, and then they land, and then they, like, they kick, and they were like, we have claimed our land, and I'm like, while that's happening over there, I'm just like a really angry blacksmith who's just like, this fuck is over at that other town. I dare they say something bad about our crumpets in our town. I'm furious, yeah? And then, yeah, I'll have a petty war with them. I'll have a petty war over what they called our crumpets. I'm furious. I'm livid. Like, I get it. There's a whole life and death struggle going on, but I'm more petty than that. I want the rage.
Yeah.
Do you know what
definitely.
I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I get it.
I want to hit someone with my hammer.
With my hammer, because they've been fucking rude about, like, the colour of our flowers in our garden or something. Something childish. Yeah,
yes.
I mean, exactly. I'm really into that, yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of thinking that it's, I'm going to do a proper narrative about it. I'm going to dip into that, into the lore and stuff, and find some stories around it. So yeah, essentially, there's going to be a civil war, probably based around natural resources, like something's come in and taken all the resources. So now the people of Gur are uprising and bringing a Gargan. It feels very fantasy, that kind of idea. That you've got the local militia. So the reason why I don't want like loads and loads of each unit and no named characters is because people can name their own models if they want, and you've got this ragtag mix of some infantry and some archers and maybe a war machine, and then you've got a big dude piling in who's a mercenary, and I just think it'd be fun. So I've got some prize support, which I'm happy to announce.
Oh,
I hope it doesn't mean that people go too gamey, because the winner is going to win a Mega Gargant. I thought that was quite on brand.
Oh, of the Sunday event?
So the Sunday event, the winner is going to win a Mega Gargan. And I've got some sponsors I'm going to announce in the pack. And then on for Hammer Time 7, Bad Moon Cafe have jumped on board. And we're going to send a start collecting box anywhere in the world for the person who wins Hammer Time 7.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give out prizes all the time, and I don't want it to be like this prize driven thing, but I just thought it's the new year, new army, why not?
There's some good questions in the chat. Is it a TTS Gargan or real life Gargan?
Oh my god, imagine that. That would be a fucking like a little disclaimer along the bottom. Your Mega Gargan will not be delivered in person. It will be in the form of some pixels on a screen in which you can get from an email link.
Excuse me, that's literally how EA make all their money. They're like, you might win a box full of stuff, and they're like,
full of pixels.
Yeah. Oh, we're not showing his age there.
Shut up. I'm going to announce all the sponsors and stuff in the pack later in the week. It's a real Mega Gargan. Perhaps you could paint it and model it in the style of the one that you take for your army for the tournament. So yeah.
Or throw it in the bin.
Rob Lynn, take that back.
I'm joking. No, you can paint it. Yeah. You can paint it. Right. So the other news to add on to this is obviously the Honest Wargamer crew will be doing live coverage for the whole weekend. So both the competitive event and the fun event. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty certain Dan on Superfire says he's getting hammered on the Sunday. So we're going to do super taut, serious Hammer Time 7 competitive game coverage. Will he pile in? Will he not? Oh, who's going to get the priority? Big news. Whereas ever, I very rarely get to really flex my narrative muscles, Owen. I'm going to get super creepy weird on the Sunday. Yeah, it's going to be super creepy weird. I'm going to come up with names for every unit. Don't expect, if I ever talk about what's actually happening in the game, be surprised. Yeah, no. Like that'll be a surprise to you. We're going to get creepy weird. It's going to be super fun. It's going to be a fun weekend, right?
It's going to be a fun weekend. And on the tip of wanting people to be involved, I just want to again just let people know that you know this, Rob, and you've got a spicy new video, not spicy, an excellent new video which is going to sort of explain this and show it off a bit more. But TTS is a piece of piss. You like, if you know how to play Age of Sigmar, that's more important than knowing how to use TTS.
Oh, yeah, it's way more complicated to learn how to play OS than it is to use TTS.
Yeah, hell yeah. So basically, in the Discord, my Discord, I did throw up a link earlier, and if anybody else wants a link, I can throw them in again. But basically, I've started to do some just little intro sessions, so not a full game, but basically I had about 8 people on Saturday who joined a game, and I showed you how to set up a game, and I showed them how to download models, put on auras, all the stuff that you need to play a game. And obviously you've got a video coming out as well, haven't you, Rob?
I've put the link in the chat. I need to amend some of the information in there. in the context, but everything in the video is fine. And I'm going to be including in that video, I'll include all the links. If you go to Thomas Wargaming YouTube, I'm going to put it out as a tweet later today and on Facebook. So if any of you guys want to like share it around, if you see it floating and you think, oh, I could give that some uptick, mainly because there's a whole bunch of people maybe who aren't connected to us in the community. The reason I sometimes ask people to share stuff, but not often. But like, if you guys who are listening see it floating around and you've got 2 minutes, just go find it, because there's someone somewhere who's having a shitty time and learning that he can play the game that gives them their freedom. Like, it's there's a global pandemic, and giving people the opportunity to play that, join in, have some laughs, play some games, that's super important. So if you do find that link floating around, if you're on Twitter or if you're on YouTube or you're on Facebook, you see those links for those things, give it a share out so people can just like join in and be part of the community, because Warhammer is really about community gaming ultimately. I think one of the reasons most of us don't, I mean, there's loads of reasons why we like it, but for me, one of the big reasons is I get to go out when we could, meet people, talk to people, and hang out. And that was always the adventure. It was, you'd get so excited for a weekend because you get to see all your mates. And now we just get to hang out with our mates online. So why not just go get ourselves more mates to hang online with, I think is the important point.
Damn straight. Amen.
Yeah.
And it's easy. So if anybody would like to join and have a little intro, I tend to do them. It's 10 o'clock UK time on a Saturday morning in my Discord. You can join. And if you want a little refresher course, and then you can set up a game afterwards. And there's other servers we can get games and stuff. Just jump in, join the gang, and then you can see how much fun it all is, right?
Yeah.
Because it is fun, right?
And we need fun in our lives. And then it's whatever.
Yeah. Then you're bad. Then you're going to get immediately kicked out. No, I'm not saying it. That's not true.
All right, sweet. Right. We're going to be more results on what's happening in the Butcher's Team event. If there are any events happening around the world that are happening in real life, please do let us know around the world. As long as they're somewhere safe and somewhere healthy, that's good. Big positives, big thumbs. I know there's some big Australian events coming up, New Zealand as well. We'll see you guys soon. Owen, thanks as always for being a treasure.
No problem. I'm just putting the links in the chat again. Moon Tyranid said, how do I join the Sunday event? There's some links there, sir. There's the Discord and there's the Hammer Time stuff. But yeah, I don't want this to be a public service broadcast. I just want people to play Warhammer together. So yeah, that's it.
That's a pretty good public service broadcast. I'm in. Yeah.
Okay. I just don't want to use this show as a mouthpiece for my events and stuff, because I'm not really about that. I just want people to have a good time.
Me either.
So
you never catch me promoting any of my events on the show. I think that's an important point. I try and avoid that as much as possible.
That's because you don't update your show notes, isn't it? That's what it is, Rob. You're just like, shit, I had that. I've got that thing tomorrow. I haven't told them about it. Damn it.
Anyway.
And we're going to have a game tomorrow, aren't we, Rob?
We are. Breakfast Battle's back tomorrow. I've got three great opponents. I've got Colonel Cabbage, you, and also Chris Welfare. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Breakfast Battles every morning this week. You guys are inundated with some TTS gaming, so you guys are getting smashed, basically. I'm bringing it. I'm bringing the raw power of maybe it's Ancient Arcanites.
Okay. I've never heard those two terms together before, but, you be you, man. Forge the narrative. Do your own thing.
Have you got a job? I'll ask him after. Powell's like, why don't ask me? I thought he had a job. But I'll ask him. Meg says he doesn't know work anyway, so it's fine. Right, anyway, thanks to everyone who listens to the show. Thanks to everyone who supports on Patreon. Literally couldn't live without you. You guys are brilliant. Podcast bros, love you. I hope you stay well. Big kisses and loves. That's right, kisses today. And then, Owen, thanks for being on the show. You guys are great.
Thanks, Twitch man. Chat. Oh, look at that. You're going to shoulder dance your way out. Is that your outro?
I'm going to shoulder dance my way out for Twitch chat. So I'm going to go listen to some disco. Dun, 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 by Twitch chat. Dun, dun, dun.